You may have noticed that I have my laptop up here this morning. The computer and the printer were not talking this morning, so I thought, well, I hear of other people who do this, so we'll just give it a try. I'll have to give you cues for switching slides, if that's okay. All right. But let's bow our heads together in prayer. Father God, as we open your word now together, Lord, you have gathered us here. Now speak to us by your word, by your spirit. Open our eyes to see, our minds to hear, our minds to understand, our ears to hear. Have your way in us, in Jesus' name. Amen. Our text this morning is from Matthew chapter 6. Verses 19 through 34. Now this is the last of the life passages that were submitted to me by you as members. Passages that speak deeply to us, that we carry with us sometimes through those hard struggles. And so we're going to reflect on this one from Matthew chapter 6. Two sections in Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. First he talks about treasures in heaven, and then he talks about do not worry. Do not store up for yourselves treasures on earth, where moth and rust destroy, and where thieves break in and steal. But store up for yourselves treasure in heaven, where moth and rust do not destroy, and where thieves do not break in and steal. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. The eye is the lamp of the body. If your eyes are good, your whole body will be full of light. But if your eyes are bad, your whole body will be full of darkness. If then the light within you is darkness, how great is that darkness? No one can serve two masters. Either he will hate the one and love the other, or he will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore, I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body, what you will wear. Is not life more important than food, and the body more important than clothes? Look at the birds of the air. They do not sow or reap or store away in barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not much more valuable than they? Who of you, by worrying, can add a single hour to his life? And why do you worry about clothes? See how the lilies of the field grow. They do not labor or spin. Yet I tell you that not even Solomon in all his splendor was dressed like one of these. If that is how God clothes the grass of the field, which is here today and tomorrow is thrown into the fire, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? So do not worry, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear? For the pagans run after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them. But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. Therefore do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. The word of the Lord. If we can have our first slide. People of God, there is an interesting Greek word in our text this morning. It's the word we translate as worry. But it was one that the Greeks sometimes used to describe the behavior of dogs, especially hunting dogs. When you take a dog hunting, you give it a smell to track, and that smell becomes a target, a focus, an obsession for this dog. A hunt may last hours or even days, and for that whole time, that hound will worry about finding that smell. That will be its focus, its target, its obsession. Well, human beings can be like that too. We are great worriers. Something catches our attention. We like it, or we fear it, or it frustrates us, and so we keep our attention focused on it. Now take a moment to picture something in your mind that you worry about. What is it that you think about a lot? What are you afraid of? What occupies your attention, your energies? Think about that. Our text this morning, next slide please, starts with Jesus talking about our treasures. Those things that are the focus of our attention and our energies. And he cautions us not to treasure the wrong things. Here is his answer. No one can serve two masters. Either you will hate the one and love the other, or you will be devoted to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve both God and money. Therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat or drink, or about your body or what you will wear. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothes? But seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. What are we worrying about? What is it that we treasure? Are we trying to serve more than one master? These are the questions Jesus is asking. But that leads us to the command. Next slide, please. Not simply do not worry, but do not worry about the things of the world. Don't worry about this. What you will eat, drink, wear, money, treasures on earth. Right in line with what Jesus says in John chapter 6. Don't work for food that spoils. Instead, worry about this. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness. Next slide, please. In the movie The Hobbit, or in the book The Hobbit, I guess, so that's where this picture is from, one of the diagrams, you have the dragon Smaug. And Smaug has a way of doing life about him. This is his goal. Find a mountain of gold and pretty things and sleep on it and don't let anybody touch it and stay there and guard it. That's what you do. That's what he does in this book. And he takes the mountain away from the dwarves who've gathered all this treasure, and he says, this is where I will spend the rest of my life, sleeping on this hoard. And then we find Jesus' question, and we say, what if it applied here? Is not life more than this? Really? You're going to sit on top of this pile of gold your whole for the rest of your natural life? What are our priorities? What are the things that matter to us? Are we getting that right? Now perhaps we will say to ourselves, as we often do, well, hey, what's the big deal if I have set wrong priorities for myself, if I'm worrying about things that don't matter? I'm not hurting anyone, am I? Well, recently, Heather and I watched the movie Ferris Bueller's Day Off, which is very fun. I can have the slide. So you have this great point in the scene where, of course, Ferris Bueller, who has no regard for anyone, just says, this is a car. It's meant to be driven. We need to take this out. And he's like, this is my dad's baby. The only thing that touches this car, he brushes it with a baby's diaper, you know, that kind of thing. It's just an immaculate shape. This is everything to his dad. But of course, Ferris Bueller hops in and turns it on just to see how it runs and all that. And then, oh, look, here we go out the garage. And so they end up taking this around the town. But throughout the day, his friend realizes that, you know, that he expresses a few times that his relationship with his dad is not good, and that his mom and dad actually fight a lot too. And so at a very powerful moment in the scene, as they've returned this car back to the to the show, and they're trying to wind down the miles back, but it doesn't work, of course, right? He just loses it. And he finally looks at this thing and he says, he just gets angry at his dad, says, "You love this car more than you love me, more than you love our family. And you pour so much energy and time into this, and I am left on the side." And he attacks this car, attacks it, kicks in the lights, smashes the hood and the bumper and all of this, right? It hits him so hard, and he is so angry at his dad's priorities. The things that attracted all his dad's great love and energy was a car, and not his son, not his wife, not the family that he had. And this is the problem when we get it wrong, when we have wrong priorities. Worrying about the wrong things means that we are not worrying about the right things. We can be neglecting our responsibilities. And what would God say to Smaug, the dragon? "You have wealth and great strength. Why are you using it only for yourself? Is this what it's for?" If I'm sitting on my pile of gold, if I'm keeping it from those whom God means for it to help. There is a choice to be made. What do we worry about? And are we able to shift our worrying energy to focus on the things that matter? We hear that thrust in our passage. Don't worry about those things. Trust God with those things, the things of this world, the smaller things, right? Trust God to provide. You should seek God's kingdom and His righteousness. Listen to what God's priorities are and make them what you worry about. Seek first His kingdom, and all these things will be given to you as well. Now, when we hear that, all these things will be given to us as well, that's not to say that if we find and focus on God's priorities for us, that we will have a big pile of gold to sleep on at the end of the day. That's not how it works. But God promises to provide for us. And here's a key shift in our thinking. God provides for us so that we can seek or worry about more important things. Can I have the next slide? I hope I didn't miss one. Nope, looks good. A key mark of the kingdom is that we are learning to put others first. It is, we might say, well, what does the kingdom of God look like in my life? The larger question, the one that we are told more to focus on, is what does the kingdom of God look like in someone else's life? And then you work to build it, okay? Love the Lord your God, right? We hear it in the summary of the law. The focus of the law is outside of us. Love the Lord your God and love your neighbor as you love yourself. There is you, there is you, there is God, and there is your neighbor. Okay? Love your neighbor with the same level of care with which you love yourself. And then love God more than that. Okay? But it's all pointing outside of ourselves. A second text. Religion that God our Father accepts as pure and faultless is this: to look after orphans and widows in their distress. To keep oneself from being polluted by the world. I'm keeping myself pure, filled with God's priorities and His motives, but I am focused in my energies to caring for those, for the other. Paul talking too, he who has been stealing must steal no longer, but must work, doing something useful with his own hands, that he may have something to share with those in need. Right? It's even the purpose of our work, of what we do. We work hard, not to build ourselves a big, great big thing of treasure so we can sit on it, but so that we have something to share. We have energy to give to others. This mark of the kingdom of God is it points us outside ourselves. I am dreaming the kingdom for my neighbor and then working to make it happen. That's an exercise for us to think about. Okay? What would the kingdom of God look like for my neighbor? That person at work who is having a rough go. What does it look like there? What does, say, if God was to come to work with me one day and he were to sit down with the guy across the aisle, what would God do there? Would God help him? Would God encourage him? What would God join him in the work? And then to say, well, can I be God's presence there? How about a friend at school that seems pretty lost and alone? Just you can tell that they're floundering. If God showed up, what would he do? What would that look like? How would he come alongside this person? And to try and, right? When we think about these things, when we dream about what the kingdom of God looks like for someone else, it can start to trigger ideas for how I can bring the kingdom and work to bring God's kingdom to that person. That I can be God's hands and feet here helping build what God wants to do for this person. I think this also works on a national level. How can we build the kingdom of God in our country? Do we have a voice? Can we help with dreaming what we would like to see happen? How do we find our way through tough situations? If you've been following the news, you've been probably caught the turmoil in Ukraine. And it is a very, very difficult. It's not as bad as Syria, but there is a lot of fear there and there is a lot of anger. You have, say, between the Russians and other ethnic groups that are there struggling for power. And the tendency is to fight our enemies and to push against them. Well, I found this interesting message that the church in Ukraine tried to speak publicly, one of the church groups. And they point the way to the kingdom, the kingdom of God. They say this, can I have it on the screen? Sorry. The Bible says that there is a time to tear and a time to mend, a time to be silent and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time for war and a time for peace. In accordance with these wise words, we declare today to be a time to mend and not a time to tear the nation apart. A time to seek peace and not a time to fan the flames of war. A time to learn to love yesterday's enemies and not a time to continue to hate rivals and those who have hurt us. When Christians looked in Ukraine, looked at what was happening in this country, they dared to point in the direction of the kingdom of God and say, we can find our way through this in peace. We can take that step forward. We can point in a direction that is against what we're all pulled in. That there is something larger we can seek. To seek the kingdom means to catch God's vision for the world, to hear his priorities for us, and then to work to make it a reality. And I have the next slide. Our text closes with a final note on worrying. And it's an important one. Do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Paul echoes this teaching when he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Jesus Christ. One of the hardest parts with worrying is that your mind can spin. Can I have the next slide, please? Being so focused on one thing means that you are constantly drawn back to it. and it just spins, and it just, it, you know, your friend, it beca- the energy can become frantic sometimes, you obsess about something. And here are a few words that are so, that are simple but so helpful. The God says, be still and know that I am God. Or to put it in another way,